get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back and some neck up on it.
Welcome back to the Try Games Let podcast. We are on episode 16. Today is Sunday, August 20th, 2006. I'm here with a full house of our lovely co-hosts, all three of them. We've got Ethan.
I've got a dick.
I'm glad to hear that, because I'd be scared if you didn't. We have Tony.
I reckon I'm here.
Sling Blade. We've got Al, the antipode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have a great show for you today. We have a special guest, no one. No, we don't have special guests on the show. But if you'd like to be a special guest, please send me an email, and I'll ignore you promptly. As usual, we're going to do what we're playing currently and what we're looking forward to. Then we're going to go on to our segments. Today we only have one, the blast, where we call out stupid shit that's been said over the past week. After that, the news, and then finally we're going to discuss Shenlong Bo's column entitled Casual Gamers Always Win, Arguments versus Hardcore Gamers, Ignorance is Bliss. And if you're a casual gamer listening to this, I'm sorry, but you'll probably want to spew on us for
there
this.
There won't be any casual gamers listening.
This is true. All two of you are hardcore. So, moving on. Okay, Ethan, since you were absent last week and we cried some large man cries because you weren't here, what have you been playing with Kenny?
I've been playing a few game. PlayStation games. Gran Turismo 4.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. I haven't gotten very far. As I've been told from Tony, it's going to take me probably the next 70 years to get my third car. Ace Combat 5. PS2 flight kind of arcade-y style game. Fun, but really still pissed off that I can't find a console flight sim where you can actually take off and land, and that's a little bit closer to reality. Not a flight sim, but like, you know, an arcade-y game, but with some other cool parts of it. This one.
So this is just dogfighting, then?
It's just dog... Well, no, I mean, you go on missions, and you do there's dogfighting, and there's bombings, and there's other stuff, and there's actually this really kind of weird story that is propagated that I find distracting and
stupid. You know why? Because it's a Japanese game.
Exactly.
They have a Japanese story with mystical demons coming out of your plane
demons,
and shit.
But everybody looks American. It's amazing how that happens. Finally, I've been playing MLB 06, the show.
Baseball.
First run through was mediocre. As I keep playing more and more, I like it more and more. Things I'm pissed off about the game are when you're fielding, when you're doing your defense and you're throwing from the outfield to third, or you're doing any kind of infield throwing, there's no meter on throw. You hit the button that you're supposed to throw to and it throws however it throws to. There's no skill in actually throwing the ball within the
field.
You
can't control it at all?
Can't control it at all. You just hit the button and that's where the ball
What about analog sensitivity? Like if you tap the button, would you lob it? Or
nope.
Not like you'd ever need to
nope.
lob it. Okay.
Nope.
That's
nope.
weird.
It's bullshit. And in MLB 05, you could. So they took it out. And they added really difficult kind of batting stuff. You now have to first guess the pitch, second move the analog stick in the direction where you think the pitch is going to be, and third guess if you should hit it hard or soft. It actually adds quite a bit of skill to batting, which I think is good because I think most games are too easy on the batting. So that was pretty cool. The graphics are really not that big an improvement. There aren't a lot of new modes that are really cool either. So all in all, I'd say okay.
What about stuff that you're looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to playing Fear, even though it's already out.
Right.
I'm looking forward to Bully a lot.
Bully. That's going to be a good one.
I like the...
Grand Theft High School.
Grand Theft High School.
That's pretty much all it is.
I'm still looking forward to the TA sequel.
Supreme Commander?
Yep, and that's about it. I'm looking forward to if they ever decide to make another SWAT game. I can't wait to buy it because I love that crap. I'm a little junkie.
They probably will. I mean, like, they kind of revived it. Or do you mean a traditional SWAT game or, like, another first-person shooter SWAT game?
Another sequel to the existing game. I think it's
okay.
A good direction. I think they could still do a lot with it.
Cool. Who wants to go next? Nobody! I'll go next!
Not me.
Yeah, you!
Mine is like the most boring.
You are boring, but go ahead. So let's get it out of the way.
Too.
Let's get it out of the way.
Boring ball sack.
Shut up, balls.
Balls.
What are you playing? What are you looking for?
Yeah, I'm playing Majora's Mask because I'm really trying to finish that and play Wind Waker. I'm looking forward to finishing Wind Waker when Twilight Princess comes out. I have something to do. I'm playing Warcraft and stuff.
Warcraft? What's that?
You know, it's that game where you run
around
and stuff.
Do not answer him!
It's drugs.
I had no idea you liked that game.
Yeah, man, that game
it's
is like
drugs.
Anyway,
you're an addict. Addict.
Last night we raided this place called Anikirvage, and it was pretty cool.
Anikirvage. I think I just clipped him off the map.
Yep.
What? You clipped me off the...
Yeah. With my disdain for Warcrack.
I think it could...
Okay.
Alright, edit this out, Tony. Tony, please edit this out.
Yeah.
I'm done anyway.
No, we gotta... Maybe you should keep this in. This is what goes on when Tony doesn't edit things out. This is what goes on. So we're going to leave it in for all you pancreas viewers out there, both of you, to enjoy. Anyway, okay, and what are you looking forward to?
I already said.
Well, we didn't hear it, so say it again.
I said Twilight Princess in, like, November or something.
Or October, if the rumors are to be believed.
Yeah, they're just rumors. And, you
that's
know,
bullshit. I don't think it's
rumors. Rumors and speculation.
Yeah, in Japanese.
So, yeah, I'm definitely waiting for this Wii to come out. Cause,
Wii!
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
I want to do something new.
Wii! Tony!
Alright, yeah, I'm not playing anything new. I'm still playing True Crime.
True Crime.
City. Yeah, and I'm starting to get used to it. You know, the control system still has me kind of mad at the game.
Crying like a baby!
Yeah, I don't, why do they have to change the controls? I don't understand.
Because they love you.
It's so stupid! Why do
it's educational! It's educational! They're teaching you new tactics and
I don't
polices.
Care. I'm not used to change. I like everything to be the same.
Oh, you
it's
whore.
It's not the same. It's not the same! God damn it.
Is it different?
It's completely not
is
the
it
same.
Different? Not yet.
What else did it
say? What?
It's not the same. Is it different? It is different.
I said it's completely not the same.
Is it different?
It completely is not.
How is it in comparison to the first game?
The controls are just
different.
Instead of yeah, yeah, for lack of a better word, yeah.
Are they the same?
Oh my God.
One. Shut up, Washman. Anyway,
how do the controls there, hmm?
Anyway, so, yeah, I'm pretty much trying to get used to that. Things that I'm looking forward to, Fear, of course. I don't know why, I can't even play it, I'm a puss.
Is it different?
It's different! And Mercenaries 2, I can't wait till that comes out.
I'm not sure, you see, okay, here's the thing I'm that I've been thinking about. I'm not sure if it's coming out on current-gen consoles. Let me research
no,
that.
No, it's the Xbox 360, I believe.
Mercenaries 2. Hello, Internet. Please speed up. Mercenaries 2, World in Flames for the Piss Station 3, and I don't see anything for the Xbox 360.
Really?
Uh-oh.
Not on that system.
You're going to have to spend $900!
Oh,
for Mercenaries
that.
2.
They're already planning Mercenaries 4.
What?
Yeah, it's called Lactaid.
How do you plan for something
it's
that
called Lactaid.
What the fuck?
Is it different?
It's
the same, but different at the same time.
Oh my God!
It's differently the same.
It's differently the same, yes.
And I'm also Bully. I'm kind of apathetic about that.
Bully, Bully.
Yeah, maybe
bully,
it'll be
bully.
Good. It's a kind of a good concept, and if
maybe it'll be good. Maybe it'll
maybe,
be bad.
Maybe it'll be bad.
Well, let me tell
maybe
you this.
Different.
Let me tell you this. I am not a fan of Grand Theft Auto, but we should all. And Bully is going to be High School Theft Auto, but we should all buy it to spite Jack Thompson.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just buy it. I'll buy it and like
I'll
throw my copy on in the river, but I'll buy it. So Jack Thompson can come in with his little wang nose and complain about shit,
the fuck
and you
is
know.
Wrong with these people? Oh, it's you know, it's gonna raise these children to be bullies and you know.
They sniff coke.
Shut the fuck up.
Jack Thompson sniffs coke.
They're gonna. Oh, I think they'll wind up selling it anyway
at the mall. Yeah.
Because they're as soon as they raid it.
Money, money.
Money, 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 money.
You, Austin,
let's go.
Okay, I am I have not touched a console.
Wow.
I fucking time constraints. The only thing I've had time for is the DS on the train.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been playing Age of Empires on DS, trying
how
to finish
that
up. It's different. It's very good. I don't know how you feel about it, Ethan, because I know that you are very used to the real time version. And they came and they changed it to a turn-based type affair.
Oh, like Shining Force?
Kind
of. Is there a multiplayer version of it?
I believe so. Yeah, there is. You can play a multiplayer.
On the DS?
Yeah, not Wi-Fi yet, because I think when it came out, they didn't build in the Wi-Fi capabilities, but...
Wi-Fi!
Wi-Fi! But, it's local multiplayer. What?
No, go ahead, sorry.
It's just, I mean, they basically took everything from Age of Empires 2, Age of Kings,
yep,
and smashed it into a turn-based game. So it's like, I guess it's deeper, but also not as deep on a level, because I know that a lot of times RTS...
Yes!
It's different!
It's balls!
You still have all the economic management, like the food and the gold. You still have the restrictions with your town centers, like you gotta build everything around your town. You still have the ages, and you still have the research, but they change it up so that I'm not too familiar with the real-time version, so I'm assuming that when you do research, like there's a little bar that fills up, and when it fills up, like the research is done.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's basically it's like building a
right.
unit, except it
right.
takes way longer. And
okay. So the way it happens in this one, you get to pick one topic per turn to research. So
yeah,
that's
sure.
how it works.
No,
yeah.
I mean, that's traditional turn-based.
Right.
That's fine.
So, and then, like, when you're building stuff, I think all buildings take one day to build.
Nice.
So even the biggest castle takes a single day to build, and the smallest farm takes
like
a single day to build.
Just like in real
life.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I do it.
Yeah. Oh, I just built a farm yesterday. It had cows and corn. But,
dude, I totally built a moat in a day yesterday around my
house. A moat? Really?
Yeah, nobody can get in.
Did you spooge in it? But,
yeah.
I mean, like, in comparison... In comparison with like the real time version, I don't know if that sounds like too simple for you, or if that's like actually more fair or whatnot. I don't know.
I'm stupid.
No, I mean each of them are good in their own merits. I don't want to say that I prefer real time strategy more, but only I think because I also like doing that in real time with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And the
right, right,
stuff
right.
I think would be really cool if they had the Wi-Fi multiplayer and you could play against somebody else on a turn-based way, where you make your turn and then it waits until your partner makes another turn and there's some communication ability.
Right.
I see a real shortage with stuff like that in general, and I'm waiting for that kind of explosion, because I think once it happens, it's going to be pretty huge.
Turn-based multiplayer?
Yeah, turn-based multiplayer on portable devices.
Oh. Well, see, the thing is, like, I'm sure that they're going to do this. It's just that Backbone Entertainment, the one who developed the game, I'm just not sure how much resources they had to develop it into a Wi-Fi connectable site. I'm sure that in the future they will come, like on DS. Like,
oh yeah,
I showed you that game Advance Wars on the DS, and it was a bit too Japanese, a bit too cartoony for you.
Yeah.
But that's like a prime candidate for Wi-Fi play.
Okay.
So
yeah.
It is perfect because you don't have to worry about lag.
Oh yeah.
Because
I mean, it's to me that is probably the brightest spot in the portable gaming future is
right.
the ability to do non-real time turn-based multiplaying activities with communications and messaging.
It's like chess on steroids!
People are going to eat that shit up, because it's whenever they have time, it's when they're on the train, they can make a bunch of moves, they can set it and go, and they can spend whatever time they have on it and still have this interactive game. I mean, that's huge. Huge.
Yeah, so I think it is going to happen.
Sweet.
Just not yet. I mean, they don't have I'm sure they have some Wi-Fi titles in development that we don't know about, but whatever.
I want it now!
Wham! As far as what I'm looking forward to, let me see. As far as what I'm looking forward to, they're coming out with 30 Genesis titles in one disc for the PS2 and PSP. And I know that half of them are shit, but I want them. The only problem is that it's missing Streets of Rage.
Oh, God.
It's the only problem. But I'm looking forward to that coming out soon. So I think that's coming out in, like, the fall. And I'm debating whether or not to get the PS2 version or the PSP version, because it's like, do I want to play these classics at home on a screen when I don't have time and I'd rather be playing Zelda, or do I want to play them on the go on a tiny-ass screen, but I can play it whenever I want? I'd probably go for the PSP version, but I don't know. All right, that was good. That was different. Moving on to the blast. We don't have a sound effect yet. Someone make a sound effect for the blast.
Dun, dun, dun.
I like that.
The blast!
We've got three things on the blast today. The blast is basically where we sit there and we call out things that we want to put on blast. One example, and this is going to be showing up in the news later, Sony Computer Entertainment of America President Kaz Hirai says the PlayStation 3 will keep or surpass the PlayStation 2 market share. Meanwhile, he also says that the machine hasn't even begun production.
I like better the contrast of they say that it will keep or surpass its current market share, and then the data shows that Microsoft's going to pick up 15%, leaving Sony at 40%, whereas PS2 has 60%. Now, if you do some quick math, you realize, let's see, yes, that's right, 40% is lower than 60%. That's amazing. And then to answer that,
is it lower?
He says, I think it's lower. And then to answer that, he says, well, it depends on how you spin the numbers.
Uh-huh. Oh, of course, because that's all they do, they fucking spin.
Well, but those are the numbers. You can't spin them. Yeah.
I really want to see how this pans through, because they were sitting there going, oh, the PSP, you know, it's Nintendo's reign is over. PSP is going to be the handheld of the future. Oh, wait, how many million-selling games do they have on the PSP? Oh, wait, one. How many 500,000-selling games do they have on the PSP? Last I checked, none.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait, how many units have they sold in Japan versus the DS? Oh, I don't know. They're behind by maybe 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 million. So, I mean, there you go. Well, okay, I'm exaggerating with the 8 million, but it's millions. So
5, 6, 7 million.
Pimper slap! But anyway, yeah, I mean, their arrogance never ceases to amaze me. It's like we're back in the old Nintendo days, where Nintendo was, like, the most arrogant company in the world, and they fell hard. And I'm looking to see this happen again. I mean, the PS3, he's either bragging about this whole shit, and it's not even in production yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, they were supposed to they forecasted production starting at the beginning of August or late July. It is now no longer the beginning of August.
It's like after the beginning. This is like the possibly second, the middle or the end, well, but not the beginning.
This is the third third of the month. It's the last third of the month. So, and they haven't begun. So if they start in September, and they're not going to release the game releases until 1 month before the actual release, and it takes them at least 3 months to get enough to ship 2 million copies, which is the number they're targeting, then let's see, that adds up to... Never! It's never going to come out! I think it's some guy with a cardboard box and, like, a marker in his thing.
And it's just funny with, like, the whole fan... what's it called? The whole Blu-ray shit, right? Okay, so... I think Phil Harrison, the one who looks like a penis, was like, oh, yeah, we've got 100 titles out in Blu-ray right now. It's phenomenal, right?
Did you see the coach of the Bulls?
That's Phil Jackson. You jackass.
I'm joking. Jesus Christ.
They fucking have, what, like 25 Blu-ray titles out right now? And he's like, hundreds. Where are the other 75? Mm-hmm. Are they up your ass? Did they ejaculate out your mouth? Where are they? I don't know, because they're not on the store shelves. And then this other website did a direct comparison of the first movie to come out on both formats, the Blu-ray and the HD DVD.
Yep.
And I think it was Training Day, and the other one was... I can't remember.
Kiss, Kiss, Bang.
What?
Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang.
Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang. Okay, right. And in both accounts, they're like, yeah, surprisingly, the HD DVD version is much better.
Shocking!
It is kind of shocking, though, because you think about Blu-ray is supposed to be, like, what, 50... It's supposed to have, like, I don't know, 60% more storage space, you know? 50 gigs versus 30 gigs. But, you know, yeah. So, I mean, I just don't know where they're going with this. Disclaimer, though, actually, the movies that are out on Blu-ray right now are on the lower capacity discs. They're on the 25 gig discs because they haven't even gotten their dual layer 50 gig discs working yet. Sound familiar?
What's the max HD disc?
30.
Okay.
But, sounds familiar. Oh, we don't have it working yet, but we will. Oh, we don't have the PS3 in production yet, but we will. Oh, it's $600 now, but don't worry, we'll supply. Yeah. Okay, so they're on blast.
And weighs 500 pounds.
They're on blast.
In the Star Wars program.
Our next item on blast. In an interview with USA Today, Nintendo of America President and COO Reginald Fils-Aimé says of the Nintendo Wii online service,
"Nice,
go Reggie.
We will offer online enabled games that the consumers will not have to pay a subscription fee for. They'll be able to enjoy that right out of the box. The Wii console is going to be Wi-Fi enabled, so essentially." You'll be able to plug it in and go. This is
that's
key here. No. This is key here. You'll be able to plug it in and go, okay? It won't have any hidden fees or costs. Meanwhile, though, it will adopt the stupid friend code system of the Nintendo DS's functionality, which is perhaps one of the most retarded and asinine online matchmaking tools I have ever seen.
Can you expand on why it's so retarded?
Okay. You know how... I don't know how much experience you guys have with Xbox Live.
Nope.
But very little, but I've seen it.
Okay.
I've
but with it. Xbox Live, you get online, you log into your username.
It's really easy.
And you're there.
Yep.
If someone wants to invite you to play something online, they look up your username and they invite you. Any game, it doesn't matter what game, they invite you, you say, okay, I'm going to play, you stick in your disc, and there you go. So if you want to play NBA 2K7 online, you use your username. If you want to play Halo 2 online, you use the same username. For the friend code thing, now for other online games, it's more of a hassle. You might have one identity on Half-Life 2 and another identity on, oh, I don't know, Quake 2, right? So people need to find you, like, with different names. They can't just find... It's like having 10 different AIM instant messenger clients. One name for AIM, one name for MSN Messenger, one name for Yahoo Messenger, right? And that's a hassle to keep up, right? And that's the way it's been going. Well, it is. That's the way it's been going, and Xbox Live basically consolidates that per game. Now, the Nintendo friend code thing, all right, isn't even that. You don't get a name. I don't say, I want to play Antipode 1. I want to play Fast Ethan Felsen 1. I want to play Porpoise Will. You say, I want to play versus 17223-77653-178910.
What, it assigns its own code?
Each game has a unique friend code that ties to the number, to a serial number on your DS. So every single game, it's not that every single game has a different username, which it does. That's already bad.
It's by system.
But it's by a number that is not easy to remember, not as easy to remember as a name. I can't just say, shit, I wonder if Ethan's online. Like, let me type in his name and see if he has his game. No. I'd have to call you and say, Ethan, can you put your DS card in your DS? Okay. Can you boot up the game? Okay. Can you go into the Wi-Fi connection? Okay. Can you check out your Wi-Fi settings and tell me that 12-digit friend code of yours because I can't type in your name.
Now, does it, that, wait, what, but does it stay the same?
Oh, it stays the same.
All right.
But
so
the thing
is,
it's a pain in the ass.
But it's not, it doesn't, I don't know, it's still, it doesn't take away from the fact that this is going to be a completely free service and it will work out of the box.
Like other free services that worked out of the box without this hassle.
Right.
It's balls!
Well,
and it doesn't, and no, and here's the second part of it, it doesn't work out of the box. I've spoken to so many people who don't know anything about wireless because this has no option for wired internet connection. It's all Wi-Fi. So
about the security, how does that work? Like web keys and...
I think it's the weakest level of security, like WEP, whatever is the weakest level of that.
So you
most
actually have to
WEP.
Turn down your security if you have any to use this thing.
Yep.
That's retarded.
Yep. And it's like people, the fact that he says, plug it in and go. No. You plug it in. You make sure your router's compatible on Nintendo's router compatibility list. If it's not compatible, you have to go out and buy a new fucking router. If you don't buy the new fucking router, you have to sit and tinker with ports and all this shit. And if their whole idea is Nintendo Online is going to be free for everybody, we're going to be a service for everybody, for the casual gamer and for the hardcore gamer. Everybody can get involved. No, people who don't know online shit can't get involved. Whereas on Xbox Live, if your router is set up correctly, like, you know, you'll still have to set it up. I agree. But then you plug it in and you're fine. Whereas with wireless, you know how unreliable wireless can be. I'm not getting a connection. Let me walk around my room. I'm still not getting a connection. What's going on here? Oh, no, my router's incompatible. Oh, no, I have to set up security on my Wi-Fi. It is not...
Yes, Cousin Bertha has.
It is not plug it in and go, and the friend code system sucks. They need to change that. So that's Nintendo going on blast.
It's
well, I have
balls.
A couple of things to say about that, though.
Okay.
One, the friend code isn't exactly necessary if you actually play against the person, because then it saves the person in your list. And second, you only have to put that friend code in once. So say you call somebody and say, what's your friend code? And they go 1, 2, 8, 5, 7, 10, 15, 25, 30. And then you put it in your DS, and then it saves them by their name when you play them for the first time.
Right.
And, you say,
and for
did you?
Okay. But for Xbox Live, all you got to do is know the name once. If you forget someone's name, if you delete it off your game card, or whatever happens, you have to re-enter 12 digits. You can't just find someone by their name that's easily remembered. Regardless of what happens, there are much better services out there. There are also much better free services out there, and the friend code system is broken.
To me, it seems the bigger problem is not the friend code thing, but the lack of wired connection.
That too.
The other thing I'm going to get to. But quickly, I just want to say that you're also paying Microsoft for having a server infrastructure to allow for the convenience of one username per game. If
I understand
you didn't have
that.
The server infrastructure that you're paying for, then you would most likely have to have a different name for every game.
Okay.
Xbox Live.
Right.
But I'm
but
just
you
putting
could...
it in, you know, the sections that it has to be in. But
well, let me address that. Wait, let me address that, though.
Okay.
Because a name and a number are totally different. In terms of ease of use, if I'm Mr. Chupon on one game, that I don't have a centralized thing for, right? If I'm Mr. Troupon on one game, I can easily make myself Mr. Troupon on another game. And if I don't have that name, then I can just add a 1 to it. You don't sit there and you enter 12 digits. It's just a name. And that goes in, forget about all the technicality of you still enter it just once. It's still the same identity, whatever, whatever. It's the convenience. It's the ease of use. A lot of this is easy to use, and a lot of people out there who are playing games aren't like us who are willing to put up with it.
But Al has a reasonable point, and correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know how this works, but if you put in the friend code, if you only have to put that in once, and then
yeah,
and then it associates that with like a username.
It does. It does.
Okay. That username. Can you duplicate those usernames across the board? Can multiple people have those usernames? Because
you can. You can. But the thing is, you can't enter the username. You have to enter the friend code.
I know, but you just do it once. My point is that multiple people can show up as Tony.
They can.
Right. Awesome. Yes. Yes.
And yet they're different people. So people can, I assume, assign a name. Like, let's say there's two people with the same name, but different
right.
Fred code numbers. How does
yeah.
it discriminate those two people on a list?
It does not.
Probably
at all.
It just shows two
no,
different
it doesn't. It, yeah, it just shows two different names. Yeah.
Oh, that is stupid.
See?
I mean, there's really no way that you can go around that.
Nintendo tried to...
You could allow the person who's making the list to assign names to his friends as opposed to the other way around.
You can't
that
do that.
True.
You can't do that, though.
No, I know.
You could do it. I'm sorry.
Oh, they
I'm
should like, let
yeah.
you do it.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
should let you do it, but you can't so
right.
far.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's
right,
one
right,
way
right.
to get around that.
Right. So, because like Nintendo tried to spin this as a feature. Oh, someone wants to have the name Tom, but someone else also wants to have Tom. Both of them can have Tom. No, I don't want that. I want to be able to tell between the two different Toms without having to go back out into the GUI
well, the thing,
and say
like, yeah.
whose friend code is who. If I'm racing in Mario Kart versus two Toms, the friend code's not going to show up and tell me who's who. So, I mean,
I understand their little issue. I don't know. To me, that's not the biggest deal. To me, it's the wireless problem.
Right, and Al's going to address that, too?
Yeah, that's all depending on your environment. You don't have to have security for your router if you don't care about people hijacking your connection. And then you'll be able to plug it in and go.
No,
but
if you do have security.
But if you do have security,
yeah.
then it's not so simple. But
there
are a lot
security.
Of people, unfortunately, who are... running in that casual gamer category who sometimes don't have security on their routers. They
absolutely
just put
right.
their computers in and go.
Yeah,
but
that's absolutely right.
Right.
But the problem remains that...
You should have the
Mac,
option.
It won't work with a Mac filter at all. I can guarantee that you're not going to be able to assign a Mac address to that thing.
You can, actually.
Well, they have
can
Mac
really?
Addresses.
You can assign a Mac address to the DS, but you still have to have the security level like at a certain level.
Then you can't use like WPA instead of WEP.
I'm not
yeah.
sure.
Because I do believe that the DS only uses WEP, but the Wii might come out with WPA.
That would be sweet. If
it
did, then it
should.
Bad. Yeah. Yeah.
But then they'd have to issue an update to the DS because they're trying to make all that thing interconnected.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and so they probably won't do WEP because they consider WPA as less user friendly, and they want everything to be as more user friendly. Meanwhile, in doing so, they take down the barriers of security, and you know you might get in. And they, even though that there's some people who, yes, they don't know about security, they should have the option to have the higher version if they need it and if they learn about it.
But you know what?
But you know from the start that it's right to have the security there. So it's
exactly
it's simply not best practice to support something that is not best practice.
Right.
Right, but then there's also just the fact that it's a game player. And it's not exactly something that has to do with data that needs to be kept secure.
Absolutely.
It's
right.
just,
so you
know, according to the router.
Right, but then you'd have to change your network configuration settings every time you played your game instead of
right.
just leaving it as one thing and having your PC hooked up to that thing. Like, if you have multiple
mm-hmm.
laptops in your house, I don't want to – I'd have to change the WEP configuration on both the router and the multiple laptops, and then I could play my Wii.
Right.
Is there any way that – sorry. Is there any way that you could use WEP and WPA at the same time?
Nope.
Okay.
There's no way that no like off the shelf routers do that. You may be able to buy a $1,000 Cisco router where you can do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but we're
like
not talking about that.
Yeah, no. Like any router under $50, like a Linksys Wireless G router that every single person on the planet has, that does not do that. You pick one
right.
and that's it.
And the whole bottom line of this whole thing is plug it in and go? No.
Well,
that's why I'm putting that quote on blast. Plug it in and go? No. No, not at all. Like I actually spent half an hour tinkering with my router settings to get it to work. So it's much...
And you're Asian, which means it's going to take the rest of us days.
Ha ha! You stupid! You are stupid! Last item on the blast, another Nintendo-related thing. I hate to do this because usually I like this site a lot, but www.nintendojo.com got some great coverage, But as a Nintendo-oriented site, they always feel the need to go out and find Sony and Microsoft news that's negative to just kind of increase how Nintendo looks. Now, my problem with this is, if you're a news site, you report things as they come. If you're an enthusiast site centered on a certain segment, certain on Nintendo, for example, in this case, and you want to provide good coverage with integrity, you don't go out and just say, oh, let's also find shitty news on Sony and Microsoft just to make Nintendo look better, and then let's post that. But we won't post the good news, because it's fun to be a fanboy, and it's fun to post all these news things about other companies that aren't doing so hot. There are plenty of other sites. There's PlanetGameCube.com, The Wire, with two eyes, .com, other sites that are Nintendo-centric. They don't stoop that low. They don't go out and say, guess what, today Kasarai said that Sony hasn't even begun production. I bet you tomorrow, if I go to NintendoJoe.com, that'll be the first story up. Kasarai says that the PlayStation 3 does not blah, 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 blah. If it's a Nintendo-centric site and all the users want to know about is Nintendo, why are you focusing on the negative news? Why are you promoting fanboyism? Why are you promoting everything that's shitty about internet gaming journalism? Why are you going to go out there and do that? And that's why I'm putting Nintendo Joe on blast. Otherwise, they're cool. Other than that. And that's it. Anybody else have something to put on blast? Or are you all boring? That's craptacular. Moving on to the news, we covered some of these news topics in our blasts, but going in chronological order. First up is the sales chart, and guess who? From Nintendojo in Japan, mind you, not in America, but it's always fun to look at what those kooky Japanese are buying. Let's see. DS Lite was tops for the week of August 7th, coming in at 196,719 units sold. The PSP is a distant second with 41,289 units sold the week. PS2 at just barely over 2,600, and everything after that is like 3,000.
26,000.
Huh?
26,000.
Did I say 2,600? Oops, my fault. Oops! Game Boy Advance combined 5,000 units. Xbox 360, 1,200 units. GameCube, 940 units. The old Nintendo DS at 934 units. The old Game Boy Advance at 23 units, and the Xbox at 6 units.
I have to say that...
6 people bought new houses.
the title Melty Blood Act Cadenza has got to be one of the best fighting games I've ever heard.
And it's a great fighting game, too.
Melty Blood Act Cadenza sold 64,980 units in Japan. Have you played this at all? I've never heard of
this. An older version of Melty Blood for the PC. Because basically, Melty Blood is one of those original games that has like really good professional quality.
Ah, you're having the Melty Blood.
They got picked up by Sega, but it's an awesome fighting game. I gotta like bring that DVD over to you so you can check it out.
What is Melty Cadenza? Blood.
I don't know. What's a cadenza? Sounds like something you put like. It sounds like a dresser or something.
In music, in classical music, a cadenza usually, if it's like a concerto and you've got a soloist, the cadenza is where kind of like the part in the movement where the orchestra kind of stops and the soloist can just kind of go and do his own thing and like, you know. It's kind of like
ornamental melodic flourish interpolated into an aria or other vocal piece.
Yes.
Oh. What a title.
I wonder how that has anything to do with
it. With fighting? I don't know.
It's like school children with pins kicking the crap out of each other.
Melty Blood flourishes all over.
So wait, is it Melty Blood is the game and then Act Cadenza is like
the subtitle? Yeah.
Yes.
Wait, here's how we say it properly. Melty Blood Act Cadenza. From the Ecolo Software, PlayStation.
Hey, Brain Training 2 is fourth. That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm wondering when that's coming out in the States. Have you tried Brain Training in the States yet?
No, I haven't.
That was the one that...
Yeah,
that
told me, yeah.
I do own it, so Alan, I will show
Nintendo
you.
Nintendo DS Cooking Navigator. Are you fucking kidding?
I think the translations are horrible, man.
No, I think... I mean, I'm wondering if that's like a cooking game?
The thing is with the DS, there's some applications that aren't games that they just come out with, like they have an English-Japanese dictionary for Japanese people to learn English, and they've also got this cooking navigator, which is basically a recipe book. So instead of having a recipe book by the stove, getting it all oily and dirty and nasty and shit, flipping through pages trying to find recipes, you got a Nintendo DS with clickable recipes all contained within a DS cart that's going to get splashed with oil and burned and is even more susceptible to fire damage because it's a DS and not a book. Well, no, wait, that makes no sense. Books are more fire hazardous.
There is an article on Pop Gadget describing this thing, and I'm going to read a little quote from it.
Oh, no.
Oh, my little DS Lite, is there anything you can't do? It would appear not, as technology has reached the point where humans are no longer in control and are being told what to do. Well, being told how to cook, but still. as part of the Touch Generation's lineup that we mentioned previously on PopGadget, Nintendo's released a DS Cooking Navigator in Japan, proving that there's space for more than one Italian on the roster. This title involves a little chef barking instructions and ingredients at you, teaching you how to cook. Voice responded, DS, add the eggs, you. Okay!
So that the instructions
will keep up with you and you won't have to put down what you're doing to read what's next. Each recipe comes with nutritional information along with detailed photos of each step. If you're cooking is as bad as mine, then we can only hope that the Cooking Navigator will get an internal release sometime soon.
You know what's funny?
A fantastic idea.
You know what's funny? Like, I was looking, when I just said it before, and I was like, oh yeah, instead of a cookbook, now you'll have a DS that you can ruin by your stove. Yeah. And I thought it was a stupid idea, but if he's saying that, like, you can, like, put the DS there and, like, go watch TV, and it'll tell you, all right, now boil the water,
it's not bad. And it's
that like is pretty cool.
And you can do it like an Iron Sushi Chef kind of thing, where he's screaming at you.
Put in the water!
Yeah, like, you know. That's pretty cool. And if it's interactive, if like he asks you, like, are you done with the rice yet? And you answer no, and it's like, what kind of idiot are you?
What kind of idiot?
Yeah,
that's
cool.
That is pretty cool. I just don't know if I'd buy one because it's in Japanese now.
Yeah.
But it's not Melty Blood.
No, it's not Melty Blood.
Act Cadenza.
Melty Blood Cooking Navigator would be.
All right, moving on to the next news piece. We have got Microsoft reveals XNA for aspiring developers. Now, this is huge.
Yes.
Sony tried to do this before with what I think it was called a NetYaroze. It was supposed to be like a utility that you use on the PlayStation to make your own games. Unfortunately, it never took off, and I'm not sure why.
Because it sucked. It was
too
expensive.
That's a good reason.
It was only out for like 6 months.
Oh yeah, that's right. But then, Ethan, I believe you found another thing that was like a game kit or something for the PlayStation.
Oh, for the PlayStation?
Yeah, for the first PlayStation. I think.
Maybe. I have bad memory.
You have bad memory.
Everything previous failed because of price and because of
complexity. Yeah. Well, here's the funny thing. Okay, so. Interesting part about this. Anyone can, and this is from GameSpot News, anyone can freely download the toolset, available in beta form on August 30th and full form by the end of the year. The toolset comes in two flavors, the entry-level XNA Game Studio Express and the advanced XNA Game Studio Professional. Developing games using the Express and releasing them on the PC will be free, but those who want their games available for download on the Xbox 360 must pay $99 a year as part of the Microsoft Creators Club. So, you can kind of sense that if you wanted to be cost-effective and use the free version, you could release your game, and then people will be like, oh, I'm paying $99 a year. I'll just rip off that guy's idea. That's just one kind of interesting thing to think about. But otherwise, you know, this is huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This you is can, huge. Like, if be it's the free, next Melty Blood.
Yeah.
Melty Blood, Akuto Kadenza.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to, yeah.
And the thing is that just so anyone's not confused that, like, all these development kits, anyone who's an aspiring game developer out there but doesn't know the first thing about programming, you will need to learn programming. It's not just that they give you, like, a guy that you can move his arms around and stuff. Like, you have to know coding. But what this is going to do is it's going to standardize everything so that, like, when you program, like, all the libraries and all the basic functions are familiar and they're all the same, so that it makes it easier for a programmer in one language to adapt easily for something for the PC and the Xbox 360.
Well, it also because it should ideally make the graphic programming piece a little bit easier.
Because it's coming with, you know, directly from the source, and it's coming with, you know, people who know the hardware. Yeah. Because traditionally before, I mean, you got, you know, when you talk about the PlayStation 2, I believe, there's some people who, like, get down and dirty and start to code in, like, what is almost essentially their version of machine language. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Nope, but it gets very in-depth. So it's difficult. People who know how to do it, like when we spoke to Ottavio 2 weeks ago, and if you guys haven't read the interview, all those who are listening, you should check it out. But, you know, he's basically like, yeah, we can do it. It just takes a lot of resources because it is difficult to program for. And then when you get, like, a nice API, a nice standardized, you know, development kit, people can just come in and say, well, I know how to code in C. This looks very familiar. And I'll just go for it. So this is huge for, like, you know, the independent community. Hopefully they won't have a whole rampant set of people who just rip off of the free games and make them available on Xbox Live and get paid for it. Like, I can see that as being a small little problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I have to say about that.
Damn! Is that it, Ethan? I thought you'd be popping one for this one.
I'm getting this, and I will at least, you know, get it and install it and then procrastinate on it. I certainly
I'll probably do the same thing.
Yeah. And I'm excited just that they're even releasing it so that I can procrastinate on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a really crappy game.
Tony Tail? Ponytail?
Project 1.
Tony Tail.
And then I'm going to go and I'm going to buy it for myself.
You're going to buy it from yourself. Oh, wow. You'll be making money and losing money at the same time. Oh.
One served.
Yeah.
One served. One murder burger with suicide prize served. Next news topic, Reginald Fils-Aimé talks Wii Online and marketing, and this is what we touched upon already with their blast, but I just want to move to he basically spoke with USA Today, a lengthy interview that revealed almost nothing, really, because they're still being very secretive about everything that's happening. He did have this one thing to say about the marketing, and you know how a lot of times you market through print, you market through television, things that are off that are hands-off. You have to see something, and they have to convince you of it through sight and through sound. But with this Nintendo console, it's going to be very difficult because the whole thing about it is you have to get your hands on it. So here's what he said. Let's see. Fils-Aimé also fed rumor flames that the Wii will undergo a major tour that will let gamers personally try out the Wii, in keeping with the console's E3 motto that, quote, playing is believing, end quote. While talking about the marketing plan for what could be the company's biggest product launch, he said, quote, it's going to be massive amounts of hands-on activity, as well as showcasing exactly how Wii games are different. We're going to create advocacy. We're going to make it so that everyone who tries the Wii experience talks to their friends and neighbors. Oh, I'm sorry, who tries the Wii experience talks to their friends and neighbors. So I think this is not entirely new, but it's kind of new for, you know, the video game sector and, like, entertainment in general, because I know there's a lot of grassroots marketing with, like, for example, let's say N1, the company who makes basketball sneakers. You know, they set up tournaments in, like, Riverside Park. And they get, like, feature players to play in their sneakers and in their attire and, like, have these, like, exhibition games. But there hasn't been too much hands-on stuff with video game stuff, as you know, or anything in entertainment. So what are your thoughts on that, Ethan, especially since you're also a marketing wizard?
I think it's smart. I think if you come out with a brand-new control scheme and you really are offering something new to the community, the best way to get your idea out there is to give it to a bunch of people, because word of mouth is going to be and has traditionally been the best way of marketing this stuff. People
right.
buying PS2s right. and Xboxes more because their friends are buying them more.
Right.
They are right to target to go about it that way. I think it's going to be successful regardless, because as long as you have a single friend that has a Wii in their house and you play it once, you're buying one. It's cheap and it's awesome. Period.
Right. Now, question though, in terms of the financial side of things, what about the logistics of, like, going on tour and stuff? I mean, the only problem that I personally have always seen with grassroots stuff like this and, you know, kind of hands-on stuff is that it's very difficult to reach the entire market. And I know it's not feasible to reach the entire market, but how many people can they really, really reach, and how long is it going to take for, let's say they go coastal. You know how the trends usually move from the coasts inward, right? Mm-hmm. So how long will it take for someone to take the Wii on tour in New York and L.A.? And reach someone in, like, Nebraska, for example?
If it were me and I were doing a tour, then the point of the tour would be to not necessarily hit all the coastal cities only, but mm-hmm. hit some of the marginal ones, like go to Jersey, go to Rhode Island, go to Connecticut.
Right.
And what you do is you hit all the local sites and you get all the local press to show up. So it's not
right.
that you're just touching the communities in mm-hmm. those individual places. You're getting those local news organizations that have a little bit of a wider spread and a little more
right.
local flavor send out the message that, hey, my kind of people like this thing.
Right.
Hopefully that kind of spreads a little bit, you know, a little bit right. faster.
Here's another interesting thing about the marketing strategy that they're really doing with this, and they already did this with the DS. And you know, if you look at a DS game and a PSP game and compare their graphics, you're going to say the PSP game looks tons better, given a certain artistic style, of course. But the DS has been succeeding a lot more, so Nintendo's like, okay, well, hardware is not that, you know, if we can get a creative way of playing games, then hardware horsepower isn't the end-all be-all. And so what he says here is, while other Nintendo execs have shied away from the idea that the Wii is directly going up against the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, Fils-Aimé acknowledges that Sony and Microsoft are competitors. However, he does admit that Nintendo is doing something different. Quote, our competitors are both going down the same path. both believe that more and more performance with a higher and higher price tag are their keys to success. So what do I see? I think our two competitors will trade share between them while we go off and grab share in a completely different way, end quote. How feasible is that? Do you think that the market is going to be receptive enough to this new way of playing? Like, people like, I'm going to exaggerate here, but people like our mothers or...
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, this,
like, well,
this piece of it might be good to talk about in context of something else we were going to talk about, which is that Slingbo's column. But
okay, right.
I don't like the answer to that. It's really hard. I mean, that's what these guys are hedging their bets on. The fact that two out of three companies are hedging bets on graphics is a problem for Nintendo. It says mm-hmm. that a lot of smart people that are sitting around a room trying to figure out what they should make are making things that are graphics intensive. And they're not deciding that they're making graphics-intensive stuff because that's what they believe in. They're simply saying that that's where they see the marketing.
The market going. Right, correct.
So it's tough. I really don't know. I mean, I think that, you know, it's so new. Like, this control scheme is so new that if they can convince people that the quality of the games is really that good, and if the games really are that fun, and their friends are telling them this game's amazing, you have to get this game, then the games sell the console.
Right. Right, as it usually has been, but usually games showcase the hardware's power, and that's what gets the first people into the door.
Yeah,
so I do share your concern.
You look back at the first, like the Nintendo Entertainment System and the Sega Master System. Sega Master System had way better graphics, but Nintendo did much
better. That's true.
That
is true.
Of the games,
right?
The library of games was far superior.
Their little monopoly scheme. But because they did have a really, really shady and shitty, if not intelligent, practices, like not going to go into that now, but I think with the DS, they're basically saying, "Oh, the DS, look how successful that's been." But the difference is that there's a perception of portable gaming versus like home theater in-house console gaming.
True.
People
right.
are willing to let a little bit of the graphics and hardware slide if they can have something creative on the go. Whereas in the home, when they're sitting on their couch looking at their high def TV, they're like, "This okay, this is a DVD remote. I can point and shoot, and yeah, this is fun, but." Dude, check out Alan Wake. Look at that lighting. Look at the emotion in his face. I don't have Alan Wake on the Wii.
Right. Well, the other piece is like they're buying a piece of electronics equipment. It's not
right.
like they're getting this game machine. They're getting more for their money, they feel like. So that's
right.
how they justify the higher price
right.
tag.
Right.
Personally, I would rather buy a really good DVD player for $60 and get a Wii.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know the Blu-ray stuff's like $800, which makes the PS3
still
a
bargain in a sense.
You,
yeah.
Right. If you're into Blu-ray. But,
right.
I don't know. You know, it's there's too much data out there. I really don't know what these guys are thinking.
Yeah. I feel like this is the one race that's totally up in the air. Because in the last year with the PS2, like, you know, not last year, I'm sorry, last generation of the PS2, as much as people would have liked to have it turn out different, like, there was no question that that was going to be the market leader. And with Nintendo in the past, you know, with the Super Nintendo coming out, they were like, you know, the Genesis is doing well, but the Super Nintendo is going to come out and just put up a fight and, like, you know, be done with it. Mm-hmm. And so everybody going to the Nintendo 64 era thought, Sony, what the fuck is this? But Sony managed to pull it out back there. But no one was expecting it, right? Mm-hmm. Here, no one knows what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
Almost no one knows what to expect at all. Because as much as we're sitting here going, $600 for a PS3, what the fuck is that? There are some people out there who are just going to be like, PlayStation? Okay. And then people will be like, what about the Xbox 360? The X what? What is that?
I don't know.
So, you know, Sony, because Sony does have a huge, huge, powerful brand. So
their media library is also big. Like the
right.
other article that we're going to talk about, they can leverage all their media content that they have, the movies and the music and stuff like that, and they
right.
have a way bigger contract than any of the other guys.
Right, which is leading into this story, also for GameSpot. Kasarai says, the PS3 will keep or surpass the PS2's market share. What do you think about that?
Well, we kind of talked about that. That's where
yeah.
started.
It is kind of retarded. But, I mean, supposing that Blu-ray does take off, all right, like you said, they have different media outlets. They've got movies, they got music,
yeah.
and all this stuff. Now, if Blu-ray does become the format winner, if it does, and like you said before, if you put a $600 PS3 next to a $1,000 Blu-ray player,
yeah.
someone out there is going to say, and on the order of millions of people will say, I want a Blu-ray player. What else does this PlayStation 3 do? Oh, it plays video. I don't give a shit. Does it play Blu-ray? Yeah. Okay, I'll take this one. Why not this Samsung 1000 BD for $1,000? No, I'll just take the PlayStation. And they'll probably get it and not use it for games. Or that could be a kind of a, like a gateway drug for them to start using games. Oh, I could watch these movies too, but huh, it looks like I can play this football game. I like football. Let me try this video game out, you know. So that's a different way of kind of getting into a new market. And they've tried that with the DVDs, and I think they've been successful with the PS2 and DVDs.
I think, like, we're also discounting maybe the fact that a lot of people are going to buy it because it's $600 because it's expensive.
Right, there's that image thing.
At $600, it has to be amazing.
Right.
A good friend of mine, you know, wants a PS3 only because he thinks that it's, you know, going to be just that much cooler based on the price tag.
Based on the price, right.
It's got to be better than Xbox because it's coming out later. It's got to be better than Xbox and Wii because it's more expensive.
Right.
And the other piece is, I don't know, the Blu-ray stuff, like, even if they win the Blu-ray war, my gut tells me that when DVDs started coming out, expensive DVD players were only around $200 or $300. That's probably a little bit more money. It's not $800. So what happens is you have the PS3 come out, all of a sudden Blu-ray players probably have to do a price drop.
Right.
So now maybe they're all around $600. But after that, you have to buy the Blu-rays. You have to really have a high-def TV to take advantage. And I just don't see it. Like, when you have DVDs going from VHS to DVD, DVD wasn't proliferated for 2 years after the official release when they were common players.
It still took a while, right?
It took a while. So if it's going to take another... I mean, they're talking about data by the year 2011. You know, PlayStation 3 is going to be have that 40% market share.
Right.
How the fuck are you supposed to forecast 5 years ahead when they're already, by then, working on, like, PS4 and Xbox 960 and... the Wii...
1080.
Or something.
Xbox 1080.
Xbox 1080.
And the Nintendo, you know,
dongle. Dongle.
Listen, so long as Nintendo doesn't make another cartridge-based system, I'll be fine with it.
Oh, that's not gonna happen.
Unless that's done. That's only portable.
Bring that back. I want cartridges.
And continuing on, and this is also what we covered in the blast, is that he says that the PS3 still isn't in production yet. So they were saying that they would start, like you said, in July or early August, and they still haven't started yet. Yeah. And my concern is that, like, when it comes time to actually release the thing, and they were sitting there kind of criticizing Microsoft for having a shortage in launch, they're going to do the same thing. So what's it going to do for their marketability? If people say, we stick with Sony because they stick by their word, which is bullshit.
No,
but,
no.
You know, oh, we stick by their promises, and then, oh, we've got six PS3s in our EB, or seven PS3s in this GameStop. We're not taking pre-orders. You got to hurry up.
Yeah.
What's the deal? Didn't we go through this with the Xbox 360? Didn't they say that this is going to be better? What happened? You know, so
it's common practice for them to snipe at companies that, you know, especially when you don't have a product. I mean, like, they have a piece of paper that says PlayStation 3, good idea. You know?
Good idea.
Good idea. I mean, that
thumbs up.
And then based on that, based on that memo, they're telling everybody, oh, yeah, we're going to kill everybody else. We will set the market. We will demolish all competitors in the year 2011. You know,
it's been Nintendo DS.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and, I mean, why? I mean,
well, the other piece that's something to consider in terms of the market for a device that's $600 versus the others is, I hate to say it, but, you know, the recent terrorist plot to blow up a bunch of planes that was busted in London highlights the fact that security is still ridiculously unstable. The Middle East crisis is getting worse. The U.S. economy is continuing to dive. The U.S. dollar is continuing to weaken.
Oh, yeah.
And whenever you have market instability, you are more at risk when you're introducing the higher-priced items. Those are the first items that take a dip. So if you have a 360 that's out already and is going to be cheaper by the time the PS3 launches, if I were Microsoft, I'd be dropping that price the day that PS3 releases.
Yeah, didn't you know they were going to drop the price by $0?
If that's true, then that's retarded.
They
take $30 off the retail price,
it still shows. It sends a message.
When's the scheduled launch for the PlayStation?
November 17th, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Of this year?
Of this year?
Yes.
But they haven't begun manufacturing yet.
Yep.
I don't understand.
The production line.
They're going to have like 8 of them ready.
their goal was they want 2 million ready, and they're dividing up into 3 segments of...
They said 2 million? Because when I read it, they said 1 million worldwide.
Okay, guys,
no,
seriously?
It's 2 million worldwide, and there's 3 segments. 1 Japan and 2 U.S., 700,000 apiece.
Europe.
Sorry, that's right. Europe.
Europe, and, too. And I don't know what to do about Australia.
Europe, it was maybe the... No, the Japan was released already, or the release before November 17th. The release, right?
12th. Right? The 12th, I believe.
The 12th. So then the 2 million of them were for Europe and North America, and there were 3 segments between the 3 of them, between the 2 continents, I think. And then you had, like, I don't remember what it was, but the idea, he's like, there'll always be short there'll always be shortages. There's no way they can stockpile units to meet the demand that comes out.
Especially one that doesn't exist yet.
Right, but even if they sell out, it's not going to matter. Their revenue collection is not going to be fast enough, I think, to keep up with the price of that thing.
Right, exactly.
I don't know. Their stock's going to dip. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
Seriously, I think this is what's going to happen. Come November, they're going to sell the PlayStation 3 shell, and then a year later, you could buy the parts for it.
That's a good one. Moving on to the final news topic, Walmart denies being bullied over Bully, and the gist of this is that Jack Thompson was going with his diary of the mouth and, like, you know, splooging everywhere in the world, saying that Bully abused him as a child, and, you know, this game is horrible, and it's the devil incarnate, and, like, if you play it, your teeth will fall out, and your balls will probably, like, tie up in a knot. So Walmart stopped allowing pre-orders for the game. And now they're basically saying, like, no, it has nothing to do with Thompson. We're still going to sell it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're still going to have it on store shelves.
Just as soon as they get the rating.
Yeah, the rating.
Yeah. So here we go. The company's policy on taking online pre-orders for unrated games has been under review for some time, implying that the timing in not accepting new pre-orders is merely coincidental. He also claims that the physical stores never have accepted pre-orders on rating pending titles. Mm-hmm. Referring to the demands, Simley commented to Kotaku, which is a game blog, quote, "I'd like to give credit to Jack Thompson, but there are a lot of Jack Thompsons out there, and we are just listening to our customers," end quote. Commenting again on the general decision to stop pre-orders for the unrated games, he stated, quote, "Bully is a good example, but I don't know if it's a result of Bully." So he's basically saying, look, we usually don't do this anyway, it's coincidental, Jack Thompson, blah, 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 he has white hair, he looks funny, we didn't do it because of him.
You know what? That kind of pressure is not such a big deal. If they really don't want to take pre-orders for a game that's not rated, fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah.
The fact is, they're going to sell the game once it's rated. Even if it's rated adults only, it doesn't matter.
And it's Walmart.
Yeah, but
they
now
they want to make money. They did this round already with Grand Theft Auto.
Concerned if they just nixed selling the game at all, just because somebody says it's going to be violent.
They've already come up against that.
It's going to raise our kids to be bad. Fuck you. What the fuck are you talking about? Nothing happened. Oh, God damn it. Fuck. I can't stand these people anymore.
I think it's Jack Thompson. I don't think it's Thompson.
Thompson?
Yeah.
Thompson?
I think that's how we should address him.
Jack Thompson. You know, he's going to email us and sue us for libel or some stupid crap.
Oh, wait a minute.
I would love that, actually. If he emailed us, we would get more publicity than anybody else.
That's
right.
That would
be awesome.
Yeah.
It would be like Penny Arcade.
Let him sue us. We don't have anything.
That's right.
I'll declare bankruptcy and then TryGames.net will make tons of money, and that'll be it.
Uh-huh.
But did you check out the last part of this, where they're saying that they found that there are other ratings pending games that for sale? So it really doesn't mean dick that Bully is taken off because of them listening to their customers as coincidence,
right,
and they don't sell. They don't have pre-orders for unrated games because they got Crackdown, Fantasy Star Universe, and Justice League Heroes that are all up on Walmart. And they're not out yet. They're rating pending, and you can put money on them.
That's funny.
Oops.
Oopsie.
It has nothing to do with Jack Thompson, I swear.
Just one little thing.
It's fine. Let them. I mean, okay, fuck them.
I'm very concerned about the pre-orders for Phantasy Star Universe. That is.
Oh no.
That could be bad. Yeah.
Oh no.
You know, there are religious nuts out there that says role-playing games are evil incarnate in themselves.
Well, they have magic, so they have to be bad.
Well, not only that, if you ever notice
in... God forbid kids learn magic.
Well, no. If you ever notice in role-playing games, they have their own theology.
Theology, yeah.
You know, so the church is like, blasphemy! Oh, we can't have that! We're not gonna have it! You know? So it's like, God damn it, please, somebody, get a fucking grip. You know? Jesus, I'm so pissed.
Please don't order pre-order for Bully! Bully is a bad game! Don't
you're
like
born in the wrong age, you know? Sometimes you feel like you're the smartest person out there, and I'm pretty damn fucking dumb, you know?
Yeah.
But not that dumb. I'm not that a
agreed!
And with that, we're going to move on to our topic, which is Chen Longbo's article on our site titled Casual Gamers Always Win Arguments versus Hardcore Gamers Ignorance is Bliss.
Shlengblade.
And basically, the article entails, if anybody reading out there, listening out there hasn't read it, it is on the front page currently. It might get bumped off soon, but it's still there.
It was posted on August 6th. And it's basically an article that came out from a conversation that he had with one of his coworkers about just gaming. And the gist of it is, you know, he went to Shinlumbo, why do you still play that 2D Street Fighter stuff? The graphics are stupid. And he's sitting there going, like, this guy can't be serious. You know, I'm a video game player. I know my stuff. And this guy's sitting there telling me that I shouldn't be playing Street Fighter. What's worse, he was like, you should be playing what real gamers play, which is Madden. Every year.
I've heard that so many times.
And he's sitting there, you know, bewildered, going, wait a second, this guy is telling me that he's the real gamer and that real gamers play Madden and they don't play Street Fighter 2, which is like 2D. You know, case in point, he was just like, no, I'm playing Street Fighter 3. That's a different game. He's like, oh, all looks the same to me. You know, it all plays the same to me. I don't get it. I don't understand it. You know, so it's like, this is basically just, you know, a commentary on the so-called casuals versus so-called hardcore, and I think this is an interesting discussion here. What do you guys consider casual? What do you consider hardcore? And, you know, how does this affect the market? How does this affect our gaming culture in general?
Well, if you're a casual player, then you just play when you have downtime, when you're bored, your mom's not punishing you, when you're, you're done clipping your nails. You know, it's not even something that is, you know, that you feel you have to, like, do. I mean, like,
it takes
most,
me days to clip my nails.
Yeah, most hardcore gamers, if you talk to a real hardcore gamer, they set aside time to play games. They like any, it doesn't matter if the graphics are 2D or 3D or whatever other bullshit this guy was saying. If you like playing games, you're going to play other games like it in that genre or maybe in a different category and stuff like that. And you will spend hours playing games, okay? Mm-hmm. Casual gamer to me is somebody, you know, his mom bought him a PlayStation 2 and, you know, he's got like 500 games because, you know, and he's bored with every one of them. He hardly plays. He goes outside mostly to, like, beat cats, you know? I mean, like, this is not a hardcore...
Cats!
This is not a hardcore gamer. Hardcore gamer. You know, that to me is what differentiates them. If I was in his position, I probably would have... my head probably would have exploded all over that guy's chest. No, I don't know. That's just pretty... It's almost like... And it's biased, too. It's like, no, that's not a real game. You gotta play Madden. What the fuck are you talking about? You know, so if you don't like football, you should play Madden anyway? Because it's a real game? You know?
I don't understand that.
No.
I feel like the casual is not... I think it's a balance of... It's a balance and a combination of time... Mm-hmm. Dedication, enthusiasm,
yes.
And knowledge. Because me, like I've been saying, I have no time to play games. Like, if I just went by my schedule, I'd be the most casual gamer I know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because I have a love for the industry and I pay attention to it. And I, you know, I follow as much as I can without actually getting to play them. But I play whenever I can, mm-hmm. right? Even though my schedule doesn't allow for it.
Right.
And, you know, I analyze the industry. I don't just sit there and say, oh, man. You know, I look for the things that are beneath the surface. Like, to me, any hardcore fan of anything in entertainment or art or whatever, you know, not just video games, is even if time doesn't necessarily permit, they'll at least make the attempt to understand it beyond what's popular and beyond what's on the surface. Like, for example, a casual fan of rap will be like, oh, yeah, 50 Cent is, you know, the best rapper I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have all these independent underground rappers who are, you know, whose music is about more than just like, you know, yeah, I've got guns and, you know, I've got bitches and hoes. You know, it's mm-hmm. a lot deeper than that. There's a lot of society, arguments about, like, you know, society and
yeah.
where things are going and, you know, basically more cultural. All right. And then there's art where people can say, like, you know, oh, yeah, I know the Mona Lisa. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't understand pointillism. They don't understand, like, the techniques with the brushes that you have. They don't understand all these things. So someone could go to a museum every day and look at the Mona Lisa every day and say, oh, yeah, I know art. But they don't really know
right.
it unless they go deeper.
Right.
You know, so to me, it's a combination of all that stuff. And, you know, even if you don't have the time, if you have that dedication and that mindset that you want to mm-hmm. learn and you know about this stuff, that's what kind of makes you, if not hardcore, at least enthusiast. And I think that's the problem there is that what casual people don't understand is the intricacies of what it takes to make a game, of
mm-hmm.
what it takes to actually design something that's, you know, feasible, of actually playing something and appreciating something about a game that may not be popular. Like, if it's not a football game or if it's not an instant gratification game, they dismiss it immediately. But there's some games that take about an hour or two to get into and to understand. And people also the type of people who don't understand that sometimes boring level design can be the downfall of a game. Oh, this is fun. You get to shoot stuff. No, there's more to it. You know, you have to place the enemies in the right way. You know, it can't be made monotonous with all these things. And if that's what they want, more power to them. That's great. It's just, this is just what I'm saying, is a distinguishing factor between the two.
Well, it's,
you know?
Like, yeah, as you said, it's like whatever medium. Because I consider myself like not a casual movie goer. Casual movie goers to me will go and
Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, no, they're responsible for making fucking Step Up number 2. Oh come on!
Oh god!
What the fuck?
Wait! Triple X movie of the century.
Oh Jesus Christ! It's got Ice T in it.
Oh, Ice Cube.
I mean, Ice Cube. Yeah.
You're a casual reference.
Well, there you go. I am a casual rapper. I'm a casual music fan. I'm a hardcore
movie
rock
goa.
Fan. But, you know.
Right.
I mean, how does it affect the industry? Those with the knowledge of the games will most likely buy a game and advise casual gamers if they should buy. You understand?
And then they'll still go out and buy Man because they
don't know. Probably. What are you going to do? It's people that do... have knowledge of the games that really matter to me. You know, guys like this guy, this little clown, not listening to him. And I'm not going to base my purchases or my loyalty to a company on, you know, someone who's like this, you know?
Right.
Oh, yeah, PlayStation 3 is going to be great because it has Blu-ray. Yeah, well, so?
Yeah.
I'm not going to fucking buy a game system for Blu-ray, you dick, you know?
Venomous!
Anybody, you know, if they want to play on your stupidity, and you know, stupidity wins. That's all I have to say.
I think,
I'm sorry. Go.
No. I thought you were done.
No,
but
I'm done.
I think
I'm done ranting.
The one benefit. I mean, and I guess it's a benefit. I don't know. It's a gift and a curse. I mean, the casual gamers buy games like Madden. They buy games like I don't know. I'm trying to think, but they buy all these games that make the companies money. Okay, Capcom. Okay. Resident Evil 4 is a great game for casuals and hardcores, because for casuals you get the violence and the greedy whatever, and for hardcores it's got great gameplay. So it's good for both, okay? So a casual, let's, for a second here, imagine that Resident Evil 4 is a truly casual game, right?
Okay.
Millions sold, everybody buys it. That money gives Capcom the opportunity to make something like Killer 7 that nobody buys. But they wanted to make it, they wanted to put it out, and they said, you know what, we're going to do it. People might not buy this game, but whatever, you know, it's our little baby, you know, we made this out of, you know, passion for the gaming industry, so we're going to make Killer 7.
Love built.
Aww. We're going to put out Killer 7 with the money that we made from Resident Evil. It's just an example.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that's the good part of it. The bad part of it is that those games just don't make the money. So if the publisher at the top isn't willing to gamble, no, we want to go with something safe. We want to make NFL something something.
Right.
We don't want to make, you know, Psychonauts. We don't want to publish it. Find another publisher. Right, and that Psychonauts finds another publisher. It sells like 2 copies. Doesn't get money. The other publishers say, "Oh, we don't want to take a risk like that. We just want to do NFL something something."
Right.
So that's the other side of the coin. Is that only the companies who recognize this and are willing to take that little, you know what? We got the money. Let's put out something that's fun. Let's put out something that's creative. We may take a loss, but we're funding it with our casual game money. You know, you've got those companies, and you've got the other companies who are just like, screw that. You know, we're going to own the world. I mean, I think that's the danger, but it's also a slight benefit if there is one. Yeah,
well,
that's the one thing that gives me hope.
Also, I don't know how much of, like, for instance, Madden, I don't know how much of that money that they made on previous copies go towards the development of a new game. I mean, it doesn't seem like much goes there. I mean, all they did is just, like, pretty much cut and paste, you know, add... Some things here and there just to make it seem different, but you know.
I heard that Madden 07 is a huge improvement.
Yeah, because you know when you make a touchdown, the quarterback does a little dance.
Oh, and they actually show like
eyebrows.
Audience members, and eyebrows.
Oh no! when you press the start button,
well,
the pause screen rotates.
They have the kiss cam in the game. That's the difference maker right there.
No. But it can be more than that. Like the casual gamer in the column, or the guy who's referred to as a casual gamer, probably feels he's a hardcore gamer. It doesn't. I mean, that's right. He's thinking he's a hardcore gamer, and the author is not. And that's an issue by itself because, while like Tony thinks he's a hardcore rock fan, there may be another rock fan who feel he isn't, just based on like what
Right.
Not to say that you are or aren't, just like somebody else may feel that your level of appreciation for rock is not as hardcore as theirs mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. And it's more about a subjective understanding of what's good, not really, I think, an understanding of, like, how much history you know,
mm-hmm.
or at
right,
least in,
right.
in this guy's perspective. Second, he probably thinks that he's hardcore because he keeps up with, like, the latest technology, and I think we'd agree that part of being hardcore about anything would be doing that. And mm-hmm. he probably thinks
sure.
Schling Blade's playing of older 2D
Shenlong Bow!
No, I said Schling Blade. Playing of older 2D games is casual because it's not, like, keeping up with the latest thing in an industry right. that's characterized by change and innovation.
Right, okay.
And third, I would probably say it's probably more about love or passion than anything else. Like, if that guy has as much passion for Madden that Shlen Bing has for Street Fighter...
Jesus Christ! Say his name right!
Then I don't know what to say, because maybe they're both hardcore gamers, but they just like different things.
I don't think, personally, I don't think, Jesus Christ, personally, I don't think that any hardcore gamer would dismiss his love for, and his appreciation, and his in-depth, what's it called, his in-depth experience with the Street Fighter game, Street Fighter 3 in this case, would dismiss it. You know, I mean, I do, like I said before, again, it's a matter of knowledge, and whether it's good or not, yeah. the ability to appreciate something,
But we do it.
The inability to appreciate something just because it's in 2D is a huge, like, gap there.
But mm-hmm. then you can say the same thing for us. The inability to appreciate something just because it's advanced based on graphics merits is a problem for us. Like,
oh,
Al
but
said,
the thing is,
no,
the
no,
thing
no,
is...
No, 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 but Alan, or Tony's, I don't know who said it, something about, like, you know, they now the crowd has eyebrows, or now he does a little dance in the end zone. The fact is, we may not appreciate details like that when it comes out for Ben, but somebody else might, and they might with the same fervor that we do.
He's chopping everything up.
Yeah, but the difference is, the difference is, though, is that you and I, Ethan, we do appreciate that from a technology standpoint.
I know, I'm just saying that...
But we understand, and this is where that guy is just wrong, like, there's no question about it, is that we understand what makes gameplay, what makes visuals, what makes aesthetics, and how they're separate and how they're different, and what matters when the controller is in your hand. Mm-hmm. And I'm not discounting people who want to get new games for the new graphics. That's fine. What I'm saying is that when you discount a great game just because the visuals are not up to par,
mm-hmm.
When you're talking to an individual who understands that, yes, technology is great, we appreciate these advancements, but they're not enough, that's when the gap happens. That's when... You know, that guy shows his deficiency in understanding what I consider essentially the art of a game.
Mm-hmm. But it might be, it's again, like, really a subjective thing, because we do that. Even though we do recognize that, yeah, that's fine if you want to appreciate a game just because of its, like, change in graphics, we put shit down because we think it's stupid, even if other people don't. And the point of that is, we're never hardcore gamers if we put anything down. Because somebody felt it had something to offer.
Say
as
we
long
do
as
do
that
again.
Person had the same level of passion that we have for whatever we like, it's subjective. There's no objectivity about this, like, in my opinion. And that's subjective. but there's. It seems to me that what's good is never going to be a question of objectivity.
Never. Of course not.
And if that's the case, then even when you have somebody... I mean, I think it's... I don't know that he would... I don't know that I would say that the guy is not or is not a hardcore gamer. I would say that he's probably making that decision about Street Fighter based on ignorance because mm-hmm. he's not played it.
Mm,
and if
bonehead.
He's disregarding any game based on any quality itself, if that's what you're saying, like, then that's stupid, then I agree.
That's exactly what I am saying,
but I wouldn't attach that to a title of hardcore gamer or not. You know what I mean? I think that's independent.
I still do, because, like, my whole thing was it was a combination of the knowledge and the ability to discern things and, you know, the in-depth, I don't want to say passion again, because you're right, people will have passion for football.
Or for just, whatever, for things that
for
we
whatever,
think are
right.
stupid.
Right,
know?
But, like, the knowledge, you know, I mean, I don't know anything about football, but I study these screenshots and I understand what technology goes into it. Even though I don't like it myself, like, I keep up with it and I appreciate from a technology standpoint and for what it does for future projects and what it does for projects all around. You know, do you really, like, I feel like this guy isn't that type of person to do that. This guy wouldn't say, well, Street Fighter is in 2D, I don't like 2D, but this is what it brought to the table. This is why it's considered in such high regard. This is why he still likes it. And, you know, exploring, the ability and the willingness to explore deeper than just, well, I'm just going to dismiss it. Mm-hmm. As much as we've been, like, shitting on the eyebrows and stuff, you know, I always look at freaking graphics cards and see how many pixel shaders they have on there and how many pipelines they have on each card so I can see, like, you know, where a developer's going to go with this. You know, as much as I really like its graphics, I always love seeing the next video card that comes out.
Well, but he didn't say that he never tried it, actually, in the article. He actually just comments on the fact that he sees the graphics and he thinks they're shitty. And he thinks, how could anybody play a game that looks like that? And I can think of a lot of instances where we would say something kind of like that, except not. Like, we would never say, the graphics look shitty, so I can't play it. We would say, this part of the game that I don't like is so bad that I won't play it. Like advertising in games or something.
Okay, right. here we go. So I tried to level with him. After all, he asked a legitimate, if bewildering, question. So I tried to give him a legitimate answer in return. I started by explaining that it wasn't Street Fighter 2 that I was playing, but Street Fighter 3. But he knew that already because, as he reminded me, he'd actually played it with me once before.
Right.
By my thinking, that should have cleared everything up. Street Fighter 3 is not the same as Street Fighter 2, after all. However, even having experienced it, he couldn't see it. So I tried to explain. It's a lot deeper. It's way more balanced, for one thing. And it introduced parrying, which begat all new strategies, adding yet another layer to... But that's all he needed to hear. His next statement made me understand exactly what kind of a battle I had let myself get into. He cut me off the middle of my very long argument to point out one major flaw that I was overlooking. Street Fighter 3 still looks the same as Street Fighter 2. So it's not only that he doesn't know about it. He tried it, but he didn't understand. He doesn't understand what the differences are. And there are many.
No, that's not true. He's saying that there is one thing that he didn't like about the old game that remained
No. Ethan, listen to me. Read this again. However, even having experienced it, he still couldn't see it. That's the key point there. That's what he's saying.
No, he couldn't see his point. It's not see the game. He's seen one of the games, and he didn't like how it looked. And if that part didn't change, he's not going to play another one.
Saying he couldn't see his point that the games are different.
Right. My point is, if you saw a game that had advertising in games and you hated it, right, so you decided, I'm not going to play any more games with advertising in games, and then the second game came out and they had the exact same advertising scheme and you wouldn't buy it or wouldn't play it, it would be for the exact same reason.
No, because I would understand that it's probably a good game. What I'm saying is that this guy doesn't understand what the differences are.
He's not even saying he doesn't understand it, or maybe that's what Shlengbo says, but that's not the case.
Shenlongbo!
Yeah, Shlengding. He doesn't say that.
Shenlongbo!
That's what I said, Shlengming.
No, you didn't.
I did, Shlengbo.
No,
I said that. Anyway, he's saying that it's not that he's saying he... I lost my point now.
Look, Ethan, listen to me.
Can I interject here?
Wait, let me finish. There are two pieces to this, and you're right, Ethan, he is complaining about the graphics too, yes. But the first part is that he couldn't see the difference either. He couldn't see the...
He couldn't see the difference between the gameplay, because
he based it all on the graphics. Now, me and the whole advertising thing, I'm not even going to start to judge, because I know that's not what, you know, that's not appropriate. It's a concept that I don't support all that advertising, but I understand the games could be different. I understand they're a different quality. I understand there are different intricacies. I just kind of don't support the concept of, you know, advertising.
But
this is different. He didn't say that.
But neither did Shlengbo. He didn't say that. He didn't say it. There's no comment.
What is this? There's evidence of non-evidence or something? What is this? Boondocks?
No. He doesn't say. What I'm saying is, like, he
clearly
he
does. Read it again.
He didn't see it. First of all, he didn't play the... He didn't actually play the third game.
He did.
Yes, he did.
Right there.
Ethan, you're wrong. Read it again. He did. Look at it.
Read the quote. Read it.
So I tried to level with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, someone else read it because, you know, right. Ethan's obviously not going to listen to me. He's obviously not going to listen to me.
He said, I started by explaining that it wasn't Street Fighter 2 that I was playing, but Street Fighter 3. Because basically,
right, because he had
in
not
the beginning...
Ethan, let him finish.
Go ahead.
In the beginning, the first sentence says that not long ago, a friend and co-worker of mine asked me how I'm still able to play Street Fighter after all these years.
Like Street Fighter.
Oh, I'm sorry. Still able to like Street Fighter after all these years. So that
but
begins
also,
with...
You missed that the very next sentence is, but he already knew that, this is in regards to that he's playing Street Fighter 3 instead of 2, but he already knew that because, as he reminded me, he'd actually played it with me once before.
Right,
so
which he's referring to Street Fighter 3.
Yeah. So he did play that game, and he just couldn't see, after all these years, why this guy was still playing this game.
And what differences are.
Right.
And then the next sentence says, by my thinking, that should have cleared everything up. Mm-hmm. Basically, if you were familiar with the fact that Street Fighter 2 and Street Fighter 3 are different games because Street Fighter 3 has evolved on the formula, then there's no more discussion. Oh, yeah, Street Fighter 3.
It's different.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. He says, the quote from the guy is, the truth is, I was just stunned. I was stunned by the fact that he asserted graphics are unquestionably and irreplaceably more important than gameplay.
This is his opinion.
It doesn't matter what changed in gameplay from 2 to 3. He has a belief about what's important in games.
Okay, we understand that, and that's the second point. But my first point is also that this type of person, this type of casual person, who he's classifying as casual, doesn't understand those differences and how they, you know, he just doesn't understand that it's different, even if the graphics are the same. Right, you're right. You know, that's an opinion, the graphics are whatever. But he also doesn't understand on a more cerebral level that they're different.
I don't think it matters if they're different. That's the point. It's not that he understands it or doesn't understand it. It doesn't matter if they're different. He sees two, he sees three, they have the same problem, he doesn't want to play it. It's the same thing with, I mean, I hate to bring it up again, but it's advertising and games again.
No, you're totally missing my point here. I'm saying that one of the profile, the pieces of a profile of someone who can be considered casual is not understanding this difference. It doesn't. I know it doesn't matter if he doesn't like it based on whatever. It doesn't matter. You're right. But I'm saying that part of the psyche of someone who's casual, who can't be considered someone who's hardcore, is that they don't even see the difference. Do you get what I'm saying now?
No, I don't, because I think in the advertising example, it's the same thing if they're different ads. You might not see the difference in one type of advertising versus another, but you don't care. It's advertising.
Oh, that's don't put words in my mouth. That's not true. You know that I'm fine.
I'm not putting words in your mouth. I'm saying that if there was a game with a bunch of advertising in it, and then there was a slight difference in the advertisement, and you didn't happen to understand the difference in that advertisement, you still wouldn't buy the game based on the fact that it had those same types of ads in the game.
But that's why I would look at what's in there. That's why I don't consider myself someone who's casual, who just doesn't throw it off to the side.
But the point is that, so you're saying that regardless of whether he knows he's not going to care about a certain aspect of the game, that you actually have to care about every aspect of the game to be a hardcore gamer? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that the inability to discern the difference between something that's as core and as obvious as gameplay.
But it's not necessarily an inability if he doesn't care what the difference is once he sees the graphics. It's not that he sat down and really did do an evaluation, just as this guy says. It's that he didn't care once he saw the graphics were the same. That thing that he hated about the game.
Which is also another point, because the graphics aren't the same. But that's something else.
They are the same. They're 2D.
They're 2D, yeah, he's generalizing. I think it does matter. Think it does matter.
Look, firstly, I'm playing a little bit of devil's advocate here,
wrong. No, I'm
kidding. No, there's no wrong or right. That's the point. Like, the guy doesn't like 2D graphics. Mm. He knows he doesn't like 2D graphics. So if you're saying that you're not a hardcore gamer, if you know that you don't like something but you still have to spend time trying to figure out what the difference is between one element of a game and another, even if you know you won't like it because there's something in there that bugs the shit out of you, I totally disagree with that. That's ridiculous.
Well, okay, let's read the sentence again. Street Fighter 3 Third Strike is not the same as Street Fighter 2 after all. That is his point. This is what he's asserting.
Right.
This is what Sling Blade is asserting.
Right. I know.
However, even having experienced it, he couldn't see it. And I know that after this, he also says, but you know what, the other problem is the graphics. I know that. But my point is that if you can't discern
I don't know, I think he's making that generalization. Like, I'd like to talk to the author, but he's saying that he can't see it, meaning he won't look at it because the graphics are the same, so he doesn't play it. He hasn't played the game or he played it once or something, so there's no way he's going to know the difference in the huge differences in these games, probably because as soon as he looks at it and it's in this 2D format that he hates, he's not gonna. It's gonna be tough for him to try to analyze the game anyway.
Also,
right,
He explained it to him.
He explained it to him.
Al, you had a lot. You had something to say before, and I cut you off.
Yeah, this is basically what I was gonna say. For example, if you were to talk to me and say, yo, man, I can't understand how you can still like this game after, you know, 10 years. Why are you still playing this? And I tell you, well, as far as Evolution is concerned, this game, it offers a lot more to my enjoyment and playing experience. And you go, but the graphics are, like, outdated. I go, but that's not the point. The point is that it's a game, and I like playing the features of it as a game. And you go, well, why don't you get to a real game, like Madden? Because back when Madden changed from this version, it got better graphics. And every version of Madden has better graphics. And if this is your point in your centered argument that the reason why I should play Madden is because the graphics get better and better, as opposed to playing Street Fighter, which has better gameplay over time, then I'm not following your point. And this is where the casual ability comes from, because casual in gameplay comes from the eyes and just looking and not exactly playing and getting into the gameplay, which is all of the deep facets and nooks and crannies of a game. I could like Madden between 2005 and 2006 because the passing game is better, because the running game is better, because
A lot of the kinks with certain facilities of the gameplay have changed. But if I go on to say I like Madden 06 better than Madden 05 because the graphics are better, then I'm baseless.
But this
isn't my game.
But those aren't differences in whether he's a hardcore gamer or not. It's not. He's not a casual gamer. A casual gamer would say, I don't care. I don't know the difference. I don't really care.
Well, that's an apathetic.
And that's what you said that he was saying.
No, he's not. He's not saying I don't care. He's saying I do care. I care enough about the 2D graphics that I won't ever play them. I only play Madden 05 and 06 because, and then when 07 comes out, I'm never going to play 05 and 06 again.
But didn't you just say I don't care the graphics are the same before?
No. That's a semantic problem. I'm not saying that he's caring enough to even have the debate. He clearly cares about something.
Winning a debate, that's one thing to care about.
No, it's not just about winning a debate. Like, he feels passionately about Madden. He likes Madden. He's, in fact, even asking the guy why he's playing these shitty games because he thinks that the guy should be playing these games that look way better.
I still think the inability to understand why is part of that casual psyche.
I'm suggesting that it's not an inability to understand why. It's the fact that he has a game that has 2D graphics in it and he can't get into the game with 2D graphics in it. So it's not like an inability to understand those differences, and if he were actually to sit down and be forced to play those games, I'll bet that he would be able to bring up the differences. Mm-hmm. But he's not going to play those games because he hates them.
I still think it's an ability.
It's almost a genre rule. It's like, I'm not going to play... I can't think of a genre I don't like, but if I didn't like one, I wouldn't play it.
Well, I...
But that's
also,
what I'm saying is...
Wait,
go ahead, Tony. I'm sorry.
We're also looking at this as a real debate, and it wasn't. It wasn't a real debate when it started. The guy didn't, like... You know, try to convince Shailong Cage.
Shailong Bo.
This poor guy is going to be. He's going to send an email if he listens,
but
like,
that's
you
the,
fucking
but that's
dicks.
The thing. Yeah, he's like, yeah, you got a better name,
especially
Porpoise
to me.
Whale. So, what I'm saying is, it wasn't even a debate. It wasn't something that he tried to convince Ching Wong about.
Shailong Bo. By the way, he's white, so.
Oh. That's even worse. Oh, man. So, anyway, he wasn't trying to convince him of his point. The only one that was actually incensed or at least bothered by the statement was Shenlong, okay? He was the one that took it to offense. He was the one that actually wanted a debate because, he disagreed with that view. The other guy couldn't care less. I mean, he just brought it up as not that he was, like, doing some soul-searching. He just brought it up. Why are you still playing that game? Oh, well, I won't play that game because it's 2D and I don't like them anymore. And that should have been it. He took it to offense, and that's why this was a debate. It wasn't a debate before. That was his opinion, you know? He wasn't trying to dissuade Shenlong at all. Shenlong, however, is trying to change his view on how to see this game. And that's where the debate started.
And
so,
you know what?
Yeah.
Real quick. I think we're kind of throwing something, an element that's not discussed in this article. The elements is the coworker didn't want to play the game.
Right.
I don't think that that's the case. I think the case was just, and I've hear this is what I was saying. I hear it all the time. It's like, yo, man, how are you still playing that game?
Right.
You know, that game is like 10, 20 years old. For example, somebody could ask me how I could still play something from Super Nintendo.
Right.
It's like, yo, man, you gotta get off those old games to play something. You know, that's updated.
See the new technology
right.
That's out
there.
Right. Yeah. But then,
you know,
but
it's not that I won't play it, but
right. Why
are you still playing it?
Right. But then again, that's not, that's his opinion. You know what I'm saying? He's not trying to change your views. Because if this guy was like, no, you can't play that game anymore because it's 2D, you're just being stupid, you're not giving me good reasons as to why you're playing Street Fighter, that wasn't the case at all. It was all one-sided on Shenlong. Okay? He was the one that was like, huh? What? What the fuck are you talking about? That right there might be the problem. You know, that you can't judge someone as a casual gamer just because you're the one who is incensed on a comment. You know, and that's what it all came down to. He was flabbergasted that this guy didn't have a clue like he did. But the guy didn't want a clue. He didn't care. He wasn't trying to change his view or anything. It was all Shenlong. So
well, I like to think, when I think about this one, I like to think about an argument of somebody who thinks they are a person who really appreciates like fidelity and listens to records.
Right.
And then kids today will say, you know, why are you still listening to those records?
Mm-hmm.
They sound like shit. Get a CD. Better yet, get a high-def CD.
Mm-hmm.
And is the newer community less hardcore than the older community simply because, more or less hardcore simply because, like, one listens to older stuff still and one won't listen to older stuff but will listen to newer stuff.
Right.
And again, it seems like an issue of taste.
Yeah. It is. Of course it's an issue of taste. But
is what can sometimes define the profile. Mm-hmm. Sometimes. Right, I know that there's some subjective things.
Or not.
I think it is. I mean, like, if I'm going to sit there, put it this way. If I'm going to sit there and make fun of somebody for listening to records and not understand why,
mm-hmm.
I would call myself a casual person.
He's not making fun of him. Like, he's asking him why he's not
Okay, semantics, blah, 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 whatever.
No, there is a difference.
Hold on. I have to just put in one more line here. He told me I need to get past all that fighting game garbage and move on to real games.
That's making fun of him, so. So there you go. But all I'm saying is, like, if I'm going to say, like, records, whatever, you know, I don't see it. I would, you know, I'd be willing to say, yeah, I'm casual, I don't understand these differences. But, you know, I understand why people would still want to listen to a record. Even if I'm not going to do it myself, I understand and I appreciate, through knowledge, through research, through an enthusiasm, why someone else would.
Well, but it's really simple. It's because if you don't like records and you like CDs, it's because you don't like the way records sound. And if you like records and you don't
I think that records take up too much space, or I don't want to have to buy a record player and I don't want to have the needle there. But I think that I think that it's all right to for someone not that he was saying, oh, it's not all right for you to like fighting games. Okay. I don't know how to phrase it. But it's like I can appreciate why someone would and why they should continue to do so if they want to. Mm-hmm. I understand the core element of why it's good. And well, I just personally am not one who actually uses them. And I think it's fair to say that if someone can't understand or won't understand or will or just, you know, doesn't see it, and I'm not trying to say that casual is a bad label, like, you know, as it is kind of being applied in this article, mm-hmm. but that's just what defines. Like, if you play, I'm trying to think of something I just really am not into. If you playing MLB, right?
Yeah.
Or you watching baseball.
Yep.
You know, I don't understand the sport. I don't, like, you know, I don't care to understand the sport. I'm a casual baseball fan. I'm not even a baseball fan. I'm casual when it comes to that, right? Mm-hmm. I have no problem saying that because I don't know it and I don't care to know it. And I think that defines me as someone who's not hardcore into the sport.
Oh, yeah. Okay, but this one's little bit different because he's seen the game and he's decided consciously that he doesn't like it based on 2D graphics. So based on some quality of the thing.
But it's the same thing. I see baseball and I don't like it because I think it's slow.
Great. Then,
but I think
really,
that makes
that's the debate that these guys are really having.
And
this
I think that makes me
about what casual gamers are.
This I think that makes me a casual. Like, I think that like makes that. Me a casual fan because I'm not willing to go and understand why you would like it.
Wait a minute. No. Now we're talking about only one thing. That you need to say, like, you can talk about like sports overall. A sports fan.
Okay, that's a good point.
Of
but I'm
games.
Right.
But, like, this one's really about like these two guys like games, right? One guy likes Madden. And I'll bet that's not the only game he likes. I just think that the author of the article is putting that in because maybe that's what the guy said. But I bet if you interviewed him, if he only likes Madden 05 and 06, the issue is over. But if he likes other newer games because of those graphics, which I'm just imagining.
My baseball analogy doesn't fit. But like my whole thing here, okay, is he has no problem admitting that he likes Dead or Alive solely because of the graphics. And my thing here is, I know you're going to say that, like, you know, yes, graphic, you know, to some people graphics do matter that much, right? I know that, but in my opinion, that is what defines that psyche where the graphics take so... This is what Al was saying before, is that when the graphics take such a precedent over what the core of the game is, if you're going to... Like, that's just me. That's what I think defines, you know, the profile of someone who's casual. You right. know? If I like the visual splendor of something, even if the gameplay sucks, if I'm still willing to play it just because it looks nice, I think that puts me in the casual segment of it because I like it because it looks nice. Not in the enthusiast hardcore segment who wants to delve deeper. Who wants to delve deeper than
works.
Right. Who wants to delve deeper beyond the surface. And that's at the very beginning what I stated was part of what I thought defined the difference between the two is that willingness to go and discern and go deeper below the surface, below what's popular, below what's obvious. That's what I'm saying.
I would say that I don't know. I wouldn't put that into my qualification for a hardcore gamer. I'd call that something else. Because then I don't know where the people that are that like this guy wind up being. He's not a casual gamer.
I would call him a. If he's a casual gamer. He's hardcore on the graphics.
I call him a dumbass.
I don't know. I don't know if he's a dumbass or not. But to me, it really is about.
He's probably not a dumbass. He's probably just someone who's not as into games on the same level that we are. And that level is.
Rewind? No, I disagree. I don't know because like it's not included here whether he's into other
games.
Well,
no, you're only.
Yeah, it is. He has no problem admitting that he likes Dead or Alive because of the graphics.
No. That has nothing. I'm saying that there's no. So then at least he likes other games. My point is like
because of the graphics.
Fine, but maybe he's the best at analyzing graphics in a game, and that would make him a hardcore gamer in my opinion.
Or maybe
I don't think so.
Like,
but I don't think
that would
so.
Make him a hardcore
gamer.
Watcher.
Yeah.
No, gamer. I mean, he's evaluated certain elements about a game as one must when they're playing a game, and then decided that certain things are important to him and certain things aren't. 2D games suck, in his opinion.
Right, and those certain things that are important, again, is what drives, like, you know, how intensely you are into the actual art of a game.
Well, then that makes
sense. But then it's about the number of elements of a game that you're into is a factor in hardcore gamer. So, like, if I don't care about sound in games, I'm not a hardcore gamer. But if somebody else cares about every single facet of the game,
Ethan, game, play, game. That's the part of hardcore that we're talking about.
Oh.
If you care about sound, okay, that's fine. If you care about graphics, okay. But if you don't care about the game, then you're casual. It's like me going to the movies and just watching it and saying, oh, I'm just going to watch, for example, Snakes on a Plane because Samuel L. Jackson is in it.
I don't know what it is with you and Snakes on a Plane.
This is a good point because some people might actually go and watch the movie because of the facets of the movie, which are plot and theme and all that other movie hardcore stuff if I want to talk about it like a casual. But I just want to see it because I want to see Samuel Jackson scream and curse.
But that's not what a game is. So you said it's gameplay. Well,
yes,
if you look up game in the dictionary, it's an activity providing entertainment or amusement, a pastime. You can appreciate a game for lots of different reasons. If it provides you entertainment because the graphics are so realistic that you feel like you're doing whatever it is you're doing on the screen, then you are enjoying a game in every sense.
So then you could watch, for example... let's see. Would you call watching baseball because you want to see Barry Bonds hit more homers than Hank Aaron at this point something that is casual or hardcore?
It depends how with the fervor at which I was doing it. If I watched
you would have to only watch Barry Bonds games. Only San Francisco.
No, but that's not a good analogy because because it's not all of sports. It's not all of baseball. Whereas this his
we're talking about baseball.
No, but his audience, right, but it's not all of baseball. It's not, would you watch every game based on number of home runs? The guy doesn't care about...
See, that's the thing. That's why I'm asking you.
Dude, the guy's not, he doesn't care about, like, number of shots fired, and so he only plays action games. He cares about graphics in every single game. It's something that applies to every single game. So if you want to talk about baseball, you have to figure out something that applies to every single baseball game. And then if he watches...
Yeah, home runs apply to every single baseball game.
Okay, cool. If he watches home runs on every single baseball game, then yeah, he's absolutely hardcore. He's more hardcore than I am.
Right, but that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking if I was to only watch one person hitting home runs, am I casual or hardcore? I want you to answer the question.
No, I'd say you're hardcore about the person hitting home runs.
Yeah.
Of the sport in general? Probably not, no.
Okay, that's what I was going...
That's not a fair analogy.
I'm sorry. Wait. I just have to say that also this is a biased view. We can't call this guy a casual gamer at all. If he's playing some sort of game and he actually likes a sort of game, whether it be for graphics or anything else like that, but he plays it in depth and there are elements that he likes about the game, he's not a casual game player. He's hardcore in that area. He's hardcore, maybe sports guy, you know, maybe hardcore other fighting games, you know, not necessarily better graphics. Maybe there's something...
He said for the graphics, though.
Yeah, I understand. But maybe there's a game that he does play that doesn't have even graphics as good as Street Fighter, you know, and maybe he's just pissed off with Street Fighter.
Maybe he does. I agree with you. Maybe he does. But as it's presented here and
And that's why I'm saying it's biased. I mean, like, we can't really call this guy a casual, and we can't really label...
Let me put it to you this way. There are plenty of casual gamers that I personally know, that Al and I both personally know, that fit this profile.
Oh, okay.
They sure as hell do.
we're not just saying, oh, this guy's a dumbass, and I'm sorry, you know, if I insinuate
that. Yeah, because we're not really trying to focus on...
I'm not saying, oh, this guy's a dumbass. I'm saying, in general, the profile of one who is like that shares these attributes.
No, I don't care. You could call him a dumbass. I don't care about that.
But I know. I'm not.
But, like, I'm just, like... I'm just getting into the...
It is one-sided because the other guy isn't writing the article with him.
Right.
Of course. I know that. But, I mean, given what's presented here and given what Al and I have seen out of casual gamers, like, you know, it's of course, nothing's 100%, but I think it's fair to extrapolate that, yes, this is probably a good indicator of a casual gamer.
Of course, nothing is
objective. Nothing is 100%. A lot of things are subjective. People can say, I think this circle is stupid. It's not a circle when mathematically it is a circle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody has opinions, of course. I know that nothing is objective, but I think it is a more fair assumption to make in this case than just, you know, blindly saying, like, oh, yeah, this guy's a casual gamer because he has blue hair. And I know that we're going to end up disagreeing on this, which is fine. That's great. We actually need that.
Would you consider a casual gamer, what if somebody buys every single game that's out there and the other guy buys 5% of the games that are out there? Does that have anything to do with it?
It depends on choice. If he only buys 5% of the games because he can't afford it, that can't make a designation on that.
But afford is kind of a really weird word because it's really a matter of priorities. There are things that everyone can forego if they care about something enough to buy more of it. I don't know if, like, let's assume they're making about the same amount of money. And,
all things the same, then?
Well, yeah, kind of, but not, like, all things the same, but they're making the same amount of money, but they live similar lifestyles. Like, or no, one, the guy who buys all the games is actually living, like, a shittier lifestyle because he does that. That's probably a more fair example.
I don't know, because I don't really take that into consideration personally. Like, I really don't, because, like...
Don't you think that's part of it? I mean...
Well, it would have to have an effect on your lifestyle.
It sounds like it would, but I really do still emphasize the whole understanding of, you know, the depth of a game. I really do. So if he's just buying these games to buy them and to build up a collection, he's a hardcore game collector to me, but I personally just wouldn't consider him a hardcore, you know, gamer or game appreciator if you know, he just buys these and doesn't really play them, doesn't care. You know, if he just plays them 5 seconds and puts it down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If he has this game
and he plays it to the depths of the game that he as much as he can, and he has another game that doesn't play at all because it doesn't match that perspective, it doesn't have, you know, certain gameplay aspects that the other one does. Or, okay, let's go to the 5% guy.
Sure. He plays every single game he has. He understands every single element about the game. He knows every single thing about the 5% of the games he has. And then the other guy who has every single game, he knows everything about all the graphics in the games. And since he only likes graphics, he plays all of them. But he plays the ones that he really, really only likes the graphics, like, all the time. And the ones that he doesn't really like graphics, he kind of shelves.
I wouldn't necessarily call him casual, but I wouldn't call him hardcore. I'd call him someone who needs to budget himself better.
I think that, like, that's, like, the guy in this article is not a casual gamer. Like, that's why I think the debate is not about whether this guy is a casual gamer. This is a debate, I think, about like, long schlengbows, like,
almost. Get it right once, please. Just get it right once. Out of respect for him.
Shen Longbow.
Thank you.
Long Shlengbo's ability to...
God damn it!
he gets frustrated, and then even later in the argument, he says, you know, the fruit of all this nothing save for a splitting headache the day of the argument and a feeling not
right,
like a bad hangover the next. Which I totally understand. I mean, he's having a tough time figuring this out, but...
Good point.
I mean, I would also personally, on my set, if I had the argument with this guy, I would understand why he couldn't see it, but that's not going to stop me from labeling him as one because he fits what I consider, you know, casual.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to wake up.
You should you should label him however you want, and I'm sure this guy has too. I'm just saying, from my point of view, the ways that he labeled the reasons for why he labeled him a casual gamer are not correct. It's just not right. Like, hardcore gamer to me is a much broader concept than what I think you and Longbow Shen. I think it is.
God.
Closer.
I think we've actually at least come to a point where we've resolved where we disagree.
In
terms of casual versus hardcore.
Right.
I hope.
I think that was at the very... You know what, though? I think that's at the very beginning. I don't think I... I think Tony and I gave our definitions, but I don't think you and Al did, so...
Oh.
Oops.
Oh.
It's all right.
Oops!
We've found out what our definitions are through conversation.
Well said.
Well, I don't think there's a question that if someone arises from their basement and is pasty and has had no vitamin, whatever vitamin the sun provides, vitamin D, as in dildo.
Vitamin bank.
And sits there and analyzes every little bit of every RPG and every little level up system and every little gameplay element on the internet and has never seen another human being besides his parents before. It's a hardcore.
I don't think I.
Yeah, it's pretty much sacrificing life to be hardcore.
Yeah,
that's pretty hard. Vitamin Dick. Any closing remarks? Because Al's about to get fired.
I'm constipated.
Ethan's constipated, and therefore is why he couldn't argue today.
That's right.
What? Oh no.
Blocked up there, Ethan.
That was his evil. That was his evil Metamucil twin. Not argue today. You are Metamucil.
I got some good games for you.
Your Metamucil games. If anybody has comments on this, and Shen Long, I know you would like to chime in on this. Send us an email.
Yeah, so
sorry about
butchering your
name. I couldn't.
Yeah, he's an asshole. Don't worry about him.
He deserves to get my name in an article. You write.
Long Faffin Seafelsen Felsen Feldman Calden Shelvin
Blastin Felsen
Blastin
Felsen
Blastin Flow. Any comments, send it to mailbag@trygames.net. Again, that's mailbag@trygames.net.
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 Dot what?
Dot what?
Dot net.
Not dot com, dot net, right?
Dot net.
Dot net.
Nope,
mailbag@trygames.net. MAILBAG.
Not the word at, right?
No, the at symbol, the squiggly thing that looks like a snail.
Nice.
Trygames.net, mailbag@trygames.net. Or you can access the little mail icon on the top bar of the main site. It's a little envelope, it has an E on it, and if you can't see it, you're blind, colorblind, or some blue blind.
Yeah,
blue blind.
You could be deaf too. You could be fat. You could be skinny. You could be white. Just don't be blind.
Or deaf, because then you wouldn't be able to hear this.
Right. That makes sense.
Exactly.
All right, I think that's going to do it. Thank you for listening to another edition of the extremely long podcast this week. But I think it was a good length. I think there were a lot of good things said. Tune in next week when we throw Ethan out the window and see if he survives.
Pussies.
He's a casual gamer. They must all die.
Yeah!
Oh, man.
Yeah! Yeah! Alright, thanks very much. Get out of here.
You need to stop playing around with all the clowns and the wanksters. Good girls gotta get down with the gangsters.